Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Huttin' O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so you know what that means. It is Huttin' O'Clock. Jonathan Huttin, Hot Mike with Huttin and Withrow, joins us now. Our favorite time of the week, Huttin. We finally have a new Titans head coach, Brian Callahan. It was announced this morning, and it is made official that he will serve as the Titans' next head coach. Your initial reaction to the hiring? I know on day one, it's always different than year two or year three, but on day one, did Amy Adams Strunk made the right decision?
Look, I don't know if it's the right decision. Well, time will tell on that and the way we, that's phrased, Caroline. But hey, as far as the direction, meeting her statement that she put out, yeah, I mean, I think this was a thorough search. I think that this was one that was planned, thought out, and it was done the right way. Let's put it that way. As far as the vision, the scope of experience that he has, I like it. I like the quarterbacks that he's worked with. I love the quarterback development that he's been a part of. I like the success rate that he's been a part of with a high draft pick and Joe Burrow and what we've seen from Cincinnati when he's healthy. There's a lot to do with this Titans roster. And as far as the quarterback development here goes, that's priority number one. It starts with Will Levis. Does it end there? It doesn't have to. I've heard a lot of discussion of, oh, you know, the coaches that come in are interviewing are mentioning Will Levis. Sure, that's fine. But surely, I mean, if I'm sitting in that room and I'm interviewing for the job, I'm saying, like, here's how we're going to maximize him. But here is how I maximize any quarterback that I'm working with. And I think the thing that was going for Callahan was the way he has adapted and his approach to the different personalities at that position. From Matthew Stafford to Peyton Manning, very different composites there on how they want to be micromanaged, how they want input, how they want a certain coaching. Levis will present the same aspects. And Burrow is more, much more quiet compared to some other quarterbacks out there. He's certainly flamboyant, but he's not the guy that's on the commercials or doing the Saturday Night Live skits, right? Like there's a dynamic there. There's a balance that I think he has figured out, and that's through his experience and certainly his connection throughout the league. Now it's on to the staff because that's just as important.
What's your concern level of Brian Callahan having no play calling experience or not being the main play caller, I should say?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle on what Zach Taylor said, where he's like, it doesn't really matter. You're putting too much emphasis on it. It does, because in the moment, somebody's going to make that call. From the play calling perspective, once you become the head coach, first-time head coach, first-time play caller, that's going to be extremely difficult. Vrabel's trying to do this. He had to finally acquiesce, and we finally knew that Shane Bowen was calling the defensive plays. Then you have what happened with Ken Wisenhunt, where, I mean, offense is on the field. LeBeau's coaching the defense. It's not Wisenhunt. There is a balance to that as well that I think is extremely hard to figure out. And you don't have long to figure it out in the league. That's an unknown that I'm not necessarily, positive about, because the unknowns there mean a heck of a lot. The other side of it, though, is, look, if I'm hiring a guy based on what he's done offensively and I'm all in on everything we're talking about in the meeting, in the interview, you want to maximize why you're bringing him in and his offensive philosophy. And Amy Adams Strunk has made it clear what she wants and how she wants a team to be able to adapt and evolve. And based on where the NFL is headed, this is a guy who's been a part of an offense in Cincinnati that's had three different 1,000-yard receivers. And of course, Joe Burrow, who's been to what, three Pro Bowls and certainly had the Super Bowl appearance. I'm intrigued by that aspect. But at the same time, Caroline, consider this. Most of the time when an offensive coordinator is hired, most of the time, there's a different play caller. The trend now is that's not the case. Your OC is going to be your play caller as well. And I tend to lean that way, because why else would you hire a guy unless you're not going to use his top quality? And that's Callahan's quality, offense.
We'll talk with Jonathan Huttin. Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. Because I think owners nowadays, because so much turnover, they would rather get an offensive-minded coach. So if indeed the team does well, you know, even if the offensive coordinator goes, you still have the architect, the guy that's calling the plays, the head coach. He's still in place. But with that being said, because I know, you know, the interview with Thomas Brown and then Coach Shaw, they seem to be, even though, you know, I've heard that, hey, Thomas Brown is widely respected throughout the coaches there here in the NFL. But it just seemed like maybe that was just an interview just to have an interview. But now reading the press clips from what Miss Amy has said in, you know, the new job title that Rand has and his responsibility, do you look at those interviews as sort of, I don't want to say sham interviews because I think they were not, but they are more, they're interviews that we need to really look at now because Rand does have some control over the coaching staff.
Yeah, he's overseeing it.
Yeah.
He's overseeing specifically, what did it say, Callahan and his coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I don't look at this, I don't look at any of the interviews as sham this go around. Mm-hmm. And here's why. The new policy that's in place, the Titans would not be taking advantage of the policy if they didn't interview as many as they did over Zoom. And with Rand Carthon conducting his first ever coaching search like this, I would absolutely want to see him do exactly what they did. Keep an open mind, and I think they did. They interviewed a variety of candidates, a vast array of backgrounds. And it was clear they had their sights were laser focused on Callahan, on Brian Callahan, pretty early on. To the point where they sent him a plane. They made sure he wasn't going to leave. The organization wasn't the only one that was interested in him. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew that. And once he got him here, it was like a recruit. It's like a free agent. They didn't want him to leave the room. And that's exactly what happened. They're all in with him. And I think his background with some of the coaches, just looking at his experience and who he's coached, like the specific names, the four that are all rattled off at quarterback start with Manning but end with Burrow. Carr and Stafford, but it also just growing up in the family he grew up in, mm-hmm. Mace. I mean, he's going to have connections, and I'm curious about first time head coach, 39 years old. He's my age. Would I want a veteran defensive coach as my coordinator, or am I going more the line with what Rand's doing, which is more the younger vibe? Because do you want? I'll use LeBeau again because I brought him up. Do you want an old defensive coordinator that has been in the league and he is tried and true? Or are you going with some of the same dynamic and thought process that you're going to bring to the offense defensively? I'm curious there. Maybe it's a former head coach. You know, Mike Munchak has also been one that's been thrown out there as interested in coming back. I know PK said that. So how does he make up this coaching staff? How much does Rand just say, we're going with this guy and this guy? But on that list, I don't know about you guys. Did you see a Matt LaFleur obvious guy that was not an offensive coordinator but was interviewing for a head coach that would then be elevated into a coordinator position with the Titans, much like we saw with LaFleur and Vrabel? I didn't have one that jumped out to me. Mm-mm. But in Thomas Brown's case and others, guys are going to be available.
Yeah, they are. So, I mean, my whole thing with that is, you know, if you are – going to be the guy that is instrumental not only in signing your head coach but then his assistant, then you got to get this right. You have to make sure you marry him with assistants that think just like him. I said yesterday, whether it's Dan Pitchard, who is now the quarterback's coach but may get elevated to offensive coordinator, or Troy Walters, who is highly regarded as well. He's the Cincinnati Bengals receiver coach. If he doesn't get elevated to OC or quarterbacks coach, could that be someone?
Well, there you go.
That they go out and look for.
Yeah, that would be Callahan bringing that mm-hmm. in too, yeah. Right? Like every coach would bring in a list of names that he knows he's going to bring on with his staff. I mean, that would be not item zero, but it's pretty close to the top of the list of questions I'm going through once I pick the second interviews. First interviews, by and large, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the agencies that these guys are rep by have already done some background work across the league on which guys are available, which guys are around, just through same representation, same building, different office down the hall type thing. That happens a lot, too. Not total staff, mm-hmm. but maybe a name or two that may be outside the box that you weren't necessarily you didn't know the guy was connected to because you're just looking at his coaching history.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And I would think that Callahan, with his dad, too, would have, even though he's a first-time head coach, you would be concerned because he's so young, maybe doesn't have the network that a guy that's been in the league for longer
he's got that. Yeah,
would have. That. But I would think he would have a pretty good network for sure.
I think so. And just the organizations he's worked for and the quarterbacks alone are going to attract certain coaches and on staffs. He's been around a lot. And yeah, he's bounced around quite a bit too, even for a year or so. I think if I'm Rand Carthon, I'm letting my guy, the guy that they've zeroed in on, choose his staff by and large. You're only saying, hey, are you cool with bringing in X guy who I know is going to come in here and coach this position well? I mean, that's what they did with Robinson during the interview with Mularkey. All those guys were asked about Mularkey. That's what Mularkey was saying that. So again, like that's we've seen that before. The coach needs to have his staff. It needs to be Callahan's staff. And I don't know why you hire him unless you're letting him hire everybody that he wants to bring in. That's on his list. That was a part of the interview. That would be a part of the reason why you want to hire the guy.
Hud, I'm looking right now at Harbaugh and Belichick. And right now, it looks like it's a question, just listening around, reading the tea leaves. It looks like it's a question for the Chargers and the Falcons. Like, how much are you willing to sort of turn the keys over to your whole organization? Like Harbaugh, he's got so much leverage, right? He can always just sit back and say, I guess I'll stay at Michigan. And he can leave him at the altar. But it's like, okay, if you want me, you got to bring this guy. You got to bring that guy. You got to give me this control, that control. I'm sure Belichick's got the same kind of thing. So I'm wondering where Mike Vrabel's camp is right now as he watches this, because it could kind of go either way, right? They've been courting those two guys, but there's a lot of dominoes that would fall depending on what happens with those two jobs.
Yeah, and I think just the mentalities are very, very similar, I think, between Harbaugh and Vrabel, like the alpha quality. Like I almost think they have to rein in the alpha vibe when they're sitting across from Spanos in these interviews. You know, like especially in Los Angeles, the alpha vibe was certainly turned on for Arthur Blank, who hosted Bill Belichick on his yacht in the Virgin Islands for the first meeting. So, I mean, that's the trump card there. Here's where I think Vrabel may have, if the hesitation is just the control that the guys are asking for. Vrabel comes from a structure with John Robinson. John Robinson was the president of the organization. You know, he had that executive role and it was overseeing much of the same concepts and the building. So while Burke Nyhill's doing that with the Titans, that was Robinson's role prior to Burke taking it over. So I think from that perspective, if you're looking at Seattle or you want to have that structure in LA or Atlanta, Atlanta's got it with Rich McKay and then Terry Fontenot, the general manager. I think it's more about McKay and Blank with Belichick. In the case of the Chargers, it's just at this point, I don't even know if it's about the money or if it's about the power. It's about, okay, now he's wanting this. He's wanting the staff. He's going to pick his GM. He's going to bring in the analytics department, all of the health science department. They're going to have all this. And maybe it's a wing of something that they don't even have established yet. I mean, again, like that, I think it's more about how you allocate the funds necessary to do what Harbaugh wants, because he's getting the blank check from Los Angeles. And consider this too, Willie. Atlanta and LA. Let's just throw LA in there. But really Atlanta. Atlanta has set themselves up in a very weird spot where it was Belichick. They waited a week to ask for any permission to interview any coach. Meanwhile, the Titans are doing it almost immediately. Atlanta didn't. It was Belichick, and then it was Harbaugh. And then all of a sudden, Vrabel was sprinkled in. But now they're bringing in Bobby Slowick. There's a big gap between Bill Belichick and Bobby Slowick. And no matter if they could hire the right guy, just on its face, it's going to be viewed as, wow, they went after these three guys and didn't land one of them. What's going on there? It will be viewed in a much different PR light than maybe what will happen if they didn't, maybe what the Titans did, but they didn't even pursue the veteran coaches. They went straight for the new innovative first time guy that they think can turn things around and evolve the way the NFL is doing.
Yeah, you laid that out really well. I was listening to a good podcast, the MMQB, and side note, I really hope that the talent that is stemming from Sports Illustrated with all the issues they're having. Yeah. I hope they end up okay in all this. They start the podcast by saying, we don't really know what's happening the next few weeks. So far, we're okay, but we know that's going on. But Albert Breer, who I think is pretty connected going back to Belichick and New England, you know, he was saying, like, when you go after a guy like that, you have to have two tracks, right? There's the one track where you get Belichick, and then you have to have another track if he just decides, this is not for me. You're not giving me what I need here. So so if it's got to be tough for Vrabel. Here's another one they brought up that I thought was really intriguing. They used Tampa Bay in the Tony Dungy era, and they compared it to the Buffalo Bills of today. And they basically said, well, Tampa, sort of at the end of the rope, said, we've hit our ceiling. We got to try something a little different. And they traded for Gruden, and it worked. And it was right at the end, and then it sort of crumbled right after that. And they said, well, you know, what if the Bills decided to shake it up and say, we've hit our ceiling with McDermott, who's been really successful, way more successful than his decades of predecessors before that. But I was just thinking of Vrabel with that. I was like, what if you wanted to do that, would Vrabel be an interesting dark horse for that job? It's not open yet, so we don't know. But like, I'm just wondering how Vrabel's viewing all of these different avenues that could end up going somewhere. Because I believe he will be coaching some team next year.
Well, and I do too. I do too. That is – so the door is still open for Buffalo. The window, though, is going to change dramatically of the way the makeup of that team will.
Right.
And McDermott's the one that's going to catch the heat in the fall for it. Because they've had
He's in a tough spot.
6 years now. What'd you say?
He's in a tough spot, right? He's been there a long time. It's almost Vrabel here, right? You knew if he stayed and they were 2-5 next year, Vrabel was going to take the fall. Just like McDermott. If they struggle out of the gate next year, he's been there. That would be his 8th year next year.
And he's been with Allen for 6, and they have 1 AFC championship appearance.
Yeah.
And this is during an era where they've turned things around and they've been dominant in that division over the Patriots. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like Tom Brady was there for the entirety of it and they've had to go through that. You're on to it, but they are too in the podcast. But the question would be, at what point do you do that based on, I mean, this would be the type of coaching availability that you want to get in on. The Pegulas are in the middle of their stadium stuff as well there. And they want to maximize the load of money they just gave Allen. And they're going to have to, I mean, they're what, $40 million over the cap or something right now. It's crazy for 2024. So they're going to maneuver their roster to stay competitive. And they'll be right there with Josh Allen. Will Sean McDermott be there? It's the same predicament Jerry Jones is in. Except there is a lot more hype around Buffalo given their quarterback situation. And given what the roster has done and the numbers and wins that they've been putting up, Dallas has been doing the same. But in Dallas, it's just kind of Jerry's world. In Buffalo, there's no figurehead like that. It goes straight to the coach. And McDermott's likely to take the fall for a very good football team that was made up in a different way this year. Always, I mean, they've been playoff mode for like 2 months. So it's a different vibe with the Bills, and they have a lot of free agents, and they are getting older. It's an aging roster, and they went for speed on defense, and as soon as those guys got hurt, they got slow.
It quite literally is Jerry's world, literally and figuratively. Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, we also learned, you know, in the release of from the Titans, Brian Callahan, of course, officially named head coach. Rand Carthon, he was given final roster say. But also, Chad Brinker got a promotion to president of football ops. So he'll oversee salary cap management, analytics, overall operations with the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of that promotion for Chad Brinker?
I think this is much of what he was doing. Not every line and verse or song and verse there with what she laid out in the detail, but the personnel, bringing guys in for tryouts on Tuesdays, overseeing that department. I mean, he was heavy into that, and he was touted as the analytics guy, the numbers guy, the salary cap guy, not the analytics guy, the salary cap guy. Whenever they put their staff together and we were just discussing the three the brain trust, so to speak, overseeing the general manager department. It starts with Carthon, then it goes to Brinker, and Brinker's been there. I mean, he was in the I know Wyatt put out a photo of them in the draft room. He's heavily involved, and I think it's giving a title and a delegation to a role that he's familiar with and likely he had his hands in it to begin with, is my guess. And now I like the delegation. I like the branches on the tree more than the questions being asked about, okay, which direction are they going and who's doing what? I don't think you have to do that anymore. You know the departments, you know the allocation and the delegation. They had to do this. That simplifies things and it ends any questions either internally or externally about what's going on. And this is how it should have been. General managers should have the power that is laid out here. The interesting note is what Mason brought up earlier about the coaching staff. But beyond that, the final roster control, done. We know that now. We get to end that saga, and it's something they wouldn't put to bed last year because, well, they didn't do this. They didn't delegate and allocate exactly what should have been done at the time because of the range of the stripes. And you've got the pelts on the wall, so to speak, with Vrabel, who had been there for a while, and a first-time general manager. That balance now shifts, much like it did whenever Robinson and Vrabel connected, that this is the same situation where they're paired together and Carthon was running everything behind the scenes throughout this process.
I'm with you, Hutt. The clarity of who does what, whose responsibility is what, I think it's huge, especially since we've had the past year of, yes, okay, who is doing what, who's responsible for this, who is to blame for this. I think it's massive that we finally have a little bit of clarity on that. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great rest of the week.
All right, appreciate it. You too, Hutt. All right, coming up next, we will react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say there. Plus, we've touched a lot on Rand Carthon, his relationship with Amy Adams Strunk. Now that he has final say, what does that mean for him? What does that mean for the Tennessee Titans? But also, there's another nugget in the press release that Rand Carthon will also oversee Brian Callahan and the football side of things. So what is that relationship between Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon look like? What is kind of his vicinity? What is his role in terms of actual roster construction or his hand in what Brian Callahan has to do in the coaching staff? We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.